Good morning. If you will go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at the first six verses. It was a real challenge, in full transparency, this week to kind of figure out how far to go. And so we're gonna stop at six on this day. As we continue in our ongoing journey through 2 Corinthians, what we're going to find, at least I pray, what we're going to find is Paul's continued defense against the multiple slanderous attacks that have been waged against him by the false apostles that have infiltrated Corinth, or as he termed last week in chapter 2, verse 17, the insincere, greedy for gain peddlers of God's word. And if you recall, Paul had already touched upon them at the beginning of chapter 2, actually, as to how they had attacked, in that instance, his character, his honesty, his integrity. Now he is addressing their attacks, their lies, in regard to something else. It's his calling. It's his competency, his adequacy as an apostle, as a minister for Christ and of Christ and his glorious gospel. He's not qualified, is what they're saying to him. MacArthur summarizes this well in saying, painfully, all through 2 Corinthians, Paul has to defend himself against the lies his enemies told about him. The false apostles sought to discredit him so that they could usurp his place as the authoritative teachers and then teach their destructive, divisive, devastating lies to the Corinthians. To accomplish this discrediting, he goes on, they not only viciously attacked Paul's character, again, as we saw in chapter 2, but they also challenged his competency, his adequacy and ability, his sufficiency, his effectiveness, his calling as a minister of and for Christ. I firmly believe that all called ministers of God will experience at some point in their ministry these same attacks. For me, regarding an attack like Paul addresses in the text today, an attack on one's calling and competency, I can vividly remember one Sunday where I was filling a pulpit several years ago at a church in another part of our state. It was before the service even began, and a young man in his early 20s came up to me and began to just ask a lot of theological and doctrinal questions, things that I enjoy having a conversation about. I would answer the questions, and we had this dialogue back and forth. Long story short, he then asked one other question, which would be his final. He said, "Where did you go to seminary?" And then he told me, "I currently attend fill in the blank, seminary, not important." I answered, "I've not gone to seminary." And at this, his demeanor immediately and drastically changed. And he simply said to me, "Then I really don't need to hear anything else from you." And he turned and walked away. Both his words and his actions obviously were an attack on my calling and competency as a minister or pastor. Both his words and actions, through them, he dismissed me because I did not have the proper, in his mind, commendations. That said, Paul's words, his defense against these kind of attacks are really helpful. And they're really needed. I know that they were for me, as I still struggle with these same feelings of inadequacy and incompetency in ministry. And in some ways, I thank God for them. In fact, as I stand here each Sunday and each Wednesday, these feelings are very real and very present. Yet, let us also recognize something. It's not only pastors that are made to feel this way. It's not only pastors who at times feel inadequate and incompetent in their abilities to share Christ. All believers, all of us who are in Christ, are called to gospel ministry. As we talked about last week, all of us are called to be the aroma of Christ and will at times be made to feel or will have feelings of inadequacy as we strive to be faithful to speak Christ, to live and share the gospel. Many of us oftentimes perhaps even feel like failures in our ability to do so. Has there not been times in your life where you have felt this, where you have felt inadequate or incompetent to share the gospel? No doubt the answer from each and every one of us is yes. There have been these times. This being true, as Paul gives his defense in this text as to these attacks against his calling and competency, it is greatly beneficial and encouraging for us all. Kent Hughes shares this. In presenting his credentials in this text, Paul gives, or he reminds us, of the indispensable credentials of all true gospel ministry, of where or in whom, church, we are made sufficient and competent, and therefore why we can and must boldly and confidently share Christ with the world in desperate need of him around us. So, what are Paul's stated ministry credentials, so to speak? Those that are true for all who are in Christ. Well, let's dive into the verses and have those questions, or have that question answered for us this morning. So, if you haven't already, again, I invite you, open with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at the first six verses. And at this time, if you are able, taking a posture of reverence in your hearts for our good and gracious God and his word, please stand with me as the word of God is once again read aloud in the presence of the people of God to and for the glory of God. You have it, amen. Paul to the church in Corinth. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Let's bow our heads and ask for God's help this morning. Father, we come praising you simply for who you are and just the opportunity to gather again as your people, Father, to sing together, to make commitments amongst the body of Christ and ultimately before you, God, to raise our children in a home that's saturated with your word and with Christ, that more and more would see his beauty, that those kids would see the beauty of Christ and their desperate need for Christ and surrender their lives to faith or in faith to Christ. Father, we pray for those working with all of our littles downstairs. God, we pray for our time here, that you would be made much of. I pray, Father, that in all of my inadequacies and incompetencies, Father, that your power would be revealed in my weakness, Father. May all of us desire that, God, that your power would be seen so, so amazingly through our weakness, God. Make much of yourself in this time in your word, Father. Preach a better sermon than I'm about ready to by means of your Spirit into the hearts and minds of all of us, God, we pray. We love you so much, and we need you so much. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray, and all of God's children sit together. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so as the text begins, this is what Paul writes at the very beginning. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need as some do letters of recommendation to you or from you? In a secular world, these things were very, very important. To be sure, though, as we see throughout Scripture, namely throughout the New Testament, Paul is not speaking against letters of recommendation or commendation. He's not speaking against those things. In fact, we see him doing the very same thing in many, many of his letters. If you recall, for example, in our study of 1 Corinthians, kind of close to the end, he commends to them Timothy, saying, Timothy is coming to you. Love him well. Serve him well. Hear from him. He is a partner in the gospel with me. And then we go to, in this very letter, just a little bit later on, he says very similar things to them about Titus. In Philippians, among others that he mentions, he commends to them Epaphroditus. He says, he's my brother and fellow worker and soldier, and he calls upon them to honor him. In Romans, he commends to the church there, Phoebe, our sister, faithful servant of the church at Kenchrae. Welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. And in reality, the entire New Testament letter to Philemon is a commendation. It's a commendation of Onesimus. That said, Paul's rhetorical questions posed here reveal his sorrow. They reveal his frustration, the frustration of his heart, how he feels over there, the Corinthians' fickleness. He was not trying to prompt them to commend him, but instead to make them evaluate their attitude, their thought of him. His point being, after all that we have gone through together, do I really need to introduce myself again or reintroduce myself again? Do I really need to bring you letters of commendation for me? Is that what you need to know my competency as a minister of Christ? Is that what you need to know that the message that I preach is the true words of God from God through me, his servant? Do you not know me well enough already? We have gone through so much together, both when I was present with you and when I have not been with you. Is it really necessary to prove again my calling and competency as a sincere, commissioned by God minister who speaks Christ and Christ alone? Who speaks the powerful, transforming truths of Christ and his gospel? After all the time that they had known him, can you imagine the frustration of Paul with this? As they're questioning his competency. After all the time that they had known him, after he had ministered among them for at least 18 months, after all that they had been through together, how could they believe or be deceived by these false apostles' lies about him? Surely, surely they knew him better than that. After all the teaching and the preaching, and the fellowshipping, and the prayers, and the love and tears that they had personally experienced with him. That being the starting point, Paul then moves to give to remind them of what we might term his ministry credentials. What were they? On this day, I want us to recognize three things that we find, I believe, in this text. Regarding what Paul says is this is what gives me or shows you that I am truly a servant, a genuine called servant of God. Credential number one, and we'll go through each of these separately, obviously, but credential number one, he speaks to his calling. Credential number two, he speaks to the message, the gospel of life that he actually speaks in stark contrast to those false teachers and apostles. And credential three, and I would argue perhaps this is the main driving point that he gives. He says credential three is to transform lives of the Corinthians themselves. So let's dive into each of these. Let's start with credential one, his calling. Paul writes, verses 4 through 6, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers. In other words, although Paul, again, is not denouncing letters of recommendation or commendation, his point here is that the ultimate commendation is not, or it's never going to come from man. The ultimate commendation for him that he is a genuine servant of Christ is from God. And Paul was fully confident and fully assured of God's calling upon his life, and as a result, was confident and fully assured in Christ, in his competency then, and adequacy, his sufficiency to be a minister, because the God who called him equips him. The God who called him enables him. The God who called him empowers him, makes him sufficient for gospel, fruitful gospel ministry. And church, the same is true for all of us who are in Christ. No matter how inadequate we might feel in our gospel conversations or in our moments of evangelism, no matter how defeated we might at times feel, we have been made, we have been equipped and empowered by the Spirit of God living and dwelling in us as we have been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He's called us then and equipped us to proclaim his excellencies, as we talked about last week as well. He began in our text from last week, and he continues today. Who is sufficient for these things? For effective gospel ministry is his point. Who is competent? Who is adequate to take on the monumental and eternally significant duty of preaching the word and leading people to Christ? Paul clearly answers, again, a rhetorical question that he is asking himself, saying, in essence, only those whom God has called. Because those whom God has called or saved, he then what? Gifts and empowers. Self-made or so-called ministers or peddlers of the word are simply in it for themselves and for their own glory. And they are inadequate, they are incompetent, and they are ineffective. Period. Full stop. That, however, was not Paul. Over and over again in his writings, we read of this confidence, of this assurance in his calling, and therefore his competency and his sufficiency in Christ, who saved him, who called him, and who equips him. In Acts 26, he's speaking of his testimony to Agrippa, and he says, recounting Jesus' own words to him, his calling of him. Listen to what Jesus says. I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me, the saving gospel. I am sending you, fully competent, enabled, empowered with this gospel, that eyes would be opened, that many would turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that many would receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who were sanctified by faith in me. Paul is so confident of this. He is confident that he is adequate and sufficient, not because of himself, but because that's why Christ called him. He didn't just save him to then take him to heaven. He saved him, yes, so that he would live eternally with Christ, but then so that he could be, in his weakness, a revealer of the power of God to save. And the same is true for every single one of us who's been called out of darkness and into his light, out of death and into life. We do not need to feel insufficient or inadequate unless we are relying on ourselves in our own power. In Ephesians 3, he says, of this gospel, I was made a minister. He didn't do it himself. He couldn't. I was made a minister. I was called and equipped according to, he goes on, the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To the Colossians, he writes, I became a minister of the gospel that you heard, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. To Timothy, in 1 and 2 Timothy, he humbly pens this, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, appointing me to his service, appointing me to be a preacher and an apostle, even though formerly, man, we can relate to this, even though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, the foremost of sinners. Paul knows who he was, who Christ saved him, or how Christ saved him out of all of that ugliness. And he says, the Savior that saved me out of that is the one that has called and commissioned and enabled and empowered me to then take this message, this transformational message to the world. At the beginning of this very letter, Paul, he wrote, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, set apart, meaning set apart and sent to bear the witness of Christ. How? By the will of the Father. All of this being true, church, be encouraged, be confident. As all who have been called, again, out of darkness and death and into light and life, all who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus in faith and repentance, all who have been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, have been called by God, yes, but we have also been sent out by God, fully equipped to declare Christ in the gospel. We have been called out and sent to make much of him, and we are sufficient. We are competent in Christ by means of the Spirit of Christ that is residing permanently in all of us to be effective and fruitful ministers of the gospel, no matter what others may say about us and no matter how we might feel sometimes. Indeed, we are not sufficient in ourselves, but we are more than sufficient and more than competent because of God and his power at work in and through us. So from there, let's go to credential two. His calling was his credential. Credential two is the message or the gospel of life that he declared. He writes, again, verse 6, our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, the gospel. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, there is much to this, to what Paul is saying here, a great deal of which we will unpack next week in regard to the old covenant and the new covenant. That said, for today, I hope and pray that we kind of see what Paul is doing here. Paul is saying that one of his credentials that affirms his calling and competency is the message or the gospel he preached to them, to the Corinthians. Why? Because they could look back to that message that they heard and that they believed, and then they could see, they can remember the transformation, the salvation that came into their lives. They could vividly see and remember, this was us, this is now us, it's completely different. We used to live for ourselves, now we want to live for Christ. We used to seek our own glory, now we desire his glory above all else. Why? What was the thing that made that happen? It was the gospel message preached through Paul. He's saying, if you want a credential, go back to that message. Who was preaching to you that message? It wasn't these false apostles. It was me. It was Timothy. It's Titus. It's Epaphroditus. It's all of these genuine ministers of Christ. That message that saved you was preached by us. That is our credential. We need to look no further than that. Their salvation from that message is a letter of recommendation or a commendation from God for both Paul's ministry and his message. The false apostles preached a false gospel. Theirs was a, verse 7, and we'll get to this next week, theirs was a ministry of what? Death. Theirs was a ministry of death. Whereas Paul's preaching, his gospel, the new covenant, gives life that the Corinthians themselves had experienced. This covenant, a better covenant, based upon better promises being through who Paul proclaimed, which is Jesus, who died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, right? 1 Corinthians 15, who was buried and raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. This covenant doesn't just, as the old, cover over sins by means of blood of goats and calves, but instead this better covenant, based upon better promises, fully conquers sin through the shedding of Christ's blood upon the cross. Credential 3. And as I said earlier, perhaps this one might be the greatest credential that he could give. Paul writes, "You yourselves," verses 2 and 3. I love this. "You yourselves are our letter of recommendation." The intimacy, how personal he is being here. "You yourselves are the letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all." Credential 3, the transformed lives of the Corinthians is his credential. "And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us." Notice his humility there. He recognizes that their transformed lives are from Christ. Simply, he was just an instrument used by proclaiming the gospel to lead to that. "You are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart." Again, much more Old and New Covenant next week, but Paul's point here being the Corinthians, your transformed, continually being sanctified lives, having heard and believed in the gospel that Paul faithfully preached, the gospel that indeed transforms. You Corinthians, as I'm writing to you, as I'm looking at you, you're our letters of recommendation. Not ones written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, as he, the Spirit of God, is working through the Word of God to transform you. Or as Paul will later write, they're his recommendations, they're being new creations in Christ. The fact that the old self has and continues to pass away and the new self has come. This affirms Paul's calling and competency as a servant of God. This, your transformed lives, is irrefutable evidence and proof that Paul truly is a servant of God. Not only does it affirm it to the Corinthians themselves, but also to the world around them, the society that they are living in. There is a change that has taken place here. Why? Because of the message preached by this made sufficient in Christ servant of God, who is genuine and sincere, commissioned by God, called by God, enabled and empowered by God to do it. Changed lives due to the power of the gospel. Transformed lives due to the power of the gospel preached by God's faithful and sincere and genuine called and commissioned servants are what is read by all, what is read by the world around us to see the adequacy and the competence and the sufficiency of those who have proclaimed that message to them. Returning to the Corinthians as his letter of recommendation, church, please let us know this. The competency and the success of one's ministry or of a church, the true commendation is not found or seen in numbers present, but instead lives being continually changed and shaped and molded more and more into the image of Christ. There are many, many, many local gatherings that go on in this state, in this country, around this world that have thousands upon thousands of people. But they're being led by peddlers of God's word because there's no transformation that is taking place in their lives. There's not holiness, greater holiness. There's hypocrisy. I truly, truly believe that the competency and the success of one's ministry or of a church is greater godliness and holiness being lived out by those people. One quote that I came across and I wholeheartedly agree with in regard to this is the greatness of a church. Oh, I pray this for us, Saberton Hill, and beyond us. The greatness of a church, including but not limited to the competency of the pastor or leadership, is not its size, but in its likeness to Jesus Christ. To be sure, a church that is faithful to the word and gospel, that is saturated with the word and gospel, will be a church sanctified, increasingly, lives transformed by this word and gospel. And therefore, what will be the result of this? We will look more and more like Christ, to and for the glory of Christ. We will make much of him through the way we live our lives that matches the message that we preach. All of that said, I want to close with this. Church, we, in and of ourselves, we are insufficient. We are incompetent to do what God's called us to do in our own abilities. We are insufficient and incompetent to be the aroma of Christ, to speak Christ, to live and declare the gospel of Christ. Yet, our confidence, our sufficiency, our effectiveness, our competence to serve and make much of him, praise the Lord, is not found in ourselves. Our confidence, like Paul's, is in him, in the Lord, who has made us competent, who makes us sufficient. Indeed, having called us out of darkness and into light, out of death and into life, having saved us, I pray that we leave here knowing this morning. If that is true for you, if you have been saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, if you've been called out of darkness and into light, if he has called you as his child, as his own, then he has and continues to equip and empower you to do what he has called you to do, what he has set you apart to do. It is his power that is at work in us. It is his gospel message that saves and transforms that is to be declared by us. And his power, using us in our weakness, is what's going to bring him much glory. Do not feel inadequate. It's easy to say, isn't it? Do not feel inadequate. Do not feel incompetent. Do not feel insufficient in your ability to share Christ. Rest in him, his calling, and his empowerment, and his enabling of you, his equipping of you. We are called to be good and faithful servants, right? We leave the saving work up to him. We just go boldly and confidently to declare that saving message. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you have called us and that you are continually equipping us and enabling us to make much of yourself. Father, I pray again that you preached a better sermon than what I just did, Father, that we would be encouraged as your people to make much of you, knowing that the power does not rely on us. It's yours. That the ability is not relying upon us. It's yours. That we have truly been made sufficient and competent in him who saved us, in Jesus. It's in his name that we pray, and all of God's people said together. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Well, before we, go ahead and stand. Stretch. That was a long sermon. Yeah. I feel led to share something before we sing and close out. And that is that there's a whole church here and a whole block on Madison and whatever it is that, one, is sure of your calling. Two, is sure of the word, the truth preached every Sunday. And that evidence is changed lives throughout the church and throughout the neighborhood. Your qualifications are just what we need. Amen. Let's sing.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior.
Sandy, if Uncle Donnie was still with us today, I'll tell you what, he would have been in that aisle. He would have been in that aisle. Close with this. Man, I could just see him. I could just see him. As we leave, again, these words from Paul, I think they're appropriate as we leave. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, the gospel of life. As we leave here today, may we leave faithful and ready and confident and bold in knowing that that's the call that's been placed upon our lives, to take that gospel to a world around us. Amen. Johnny, would you close us out, brother? Go in peace. God bless you all.